So basically, we need a substitute Ken this week, and you're nominated.
Oh, joy.
Congratulations.
Wow, you even sound like Ken, except less Southern.
Fang.
There you go. There's your intro quote right there.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
That's never going to stand up in court.
Hey, Mickey.
Seriously, I don't understand you straight people.
Paladin.
You want to wipe that up so I can get on with this?
JD Church.
I mean, that's cool and all. But it's not the same as bombing people to death.
And Fort Max.
The most popular podcast about the Human Centipede home game.
It'll probably start with some sort of meow.
Well, why wouldn't you? Because this is superhero time. That's totally going to be in the show, by the way.
Yeah, I hope so. That's why I did it.
First line of the show. So, Ken is still missing in action this week. Paladin's running late, but we have Barricade joining us this week.
Wah, wah. Oh, I mean... Yay!
I feel welcomed already.
It's your superhero time. Welcome.
Yeah, this week, the part of Ken will be played by Barricade.
You're the understudy.
Oh, joy.
He's the under-something, anyway.
Nerd. Under the table.
So since since we don't have Paladin here to, you know, launch us into the news, San Diego Comic-Con was this past weekend, and also the preceding Thursday and Friday, and we saw Power Rangers stuff.
Lots. And lots.
First up, we are finally getting a 2010 G2 Dragon Zord 4 years late.
Yay!
Are we? Or are they just cock-teasing us again? Will it actually come out?
Well, no. Before, they never said there was going to be one. You know, in 2010, they released the Megazord, waited a few months, released Titanus, and then, you know, never said anything about there ever being a Dragon Zord. And when they were asked, I think at Toy Fair the following year, it's like, no, we don't have any plans for that right now. Because, but, you know, like we talked about at the time, obviously, you would release Megazord and Titanus and not even think of making Dragon Zord.
Bandai.
I'll believe it when I see it on a shelf.
Now, of course, since this would be compatible with the 2010 Megazord mold, well, specifically the, more for the legacy version of it, this means one thing. You can give the Dragon Zord roller skates.
Yay! Yay!
That is amazing!
Yay!
Also, coming out 2014, Legacy Dragon Dagger.
Now, yay. Is it just me, or does the picture on that mock-up packaging look an awful lot like the tiny little Dragon Dagger toy from the 2010 line?
That would be hilarious if that's what it was.
I know, wouldn't it? And they like went to the trouble of making a, you know, die-cast handle part or something for it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Now, would it be better if it was that or the lightsaber one?
Well, okay, we have to define better in this situation. Better for comedy would be if it's the little tiny one. Better for awesome would be the lightsaber one. Because that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the one that's designed...
But not cool enough to buy for $14?
No.
If it was $12, I would have.
So, the smaller one, is that the one that's designed for that enormous Gosei Red that they're selling in all the stores these days?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And from Bluefin Booth, well, news from Bluefin, let's see, there's going to be both male and female versions of Yellow Ranger figure art.
Okay, so we saw pictures from Comic-Con of the female body yellow, and it actually looks really nice without the skirt piece on. I mean, it
did a good job.
Yeah, it works really solid.
Most girls do look better without the skirt on.
Totally.
I I wouldn't say that necessarily.
And also shown off, Gokaigers.
Hooray!
Nice.
Yeah.
I just hope Gokai Green still comes with Navi.
I don't care.
I doubt Navi's even in the show.
I already have Navi, so I don't really care either. I just want red, pink, and yellow.
You know, Navi was not like a first-run pack and it's a standard accessory, so good chance it'll still come with it.
Yeah, because let's see, the first-run pack-ins for the main five were just all the control
the steering wheels, yeah.
And Silver didn't have one, did he?
No.
Nope.
No.
And in the case of the five that did the steering wheels, there was not non-steering wheel versions of pink and yellow because they were web exclusives. There was only the one run of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, steering wheels probably won't come with them in any case, but
the steering wheels just take up too much room on the shelf anyway.
Yeah. I guess. I would have liked to get at least one of the seated versions, though.
I'll trade you my seated one for your Gokai Red.
But then I wouldn't have a Gokai Red.
That wouldn't bother me.
Besides, Gokai Red comes with a steering wheel.
But not a seated one.
I will glue a chair to it. And, you know, not like a figure eight scale chair, like an office chair.
Right, like an actual chair.
Yes.
A recliner.
Well, we do have a spare recliner we're not using. I could do that.
And not like a good one, but like one that you got off of like the in front of a house, you know. Like,
oh yeah, this recliner's from Goodwill, so.
Yeah.
And also showed off a bunch of Ranger keys.
But what scale are they?
I don't know, but they have, but they're spring loaded.
Yeah, they look kind of chubby hand too. They're like they're a little fatty.
They look like Bandai America figures.
Yeah, they're a little fatty.
Yeah, I wonder if that was the point, to try to put superhero proportions on them, or if there's some other explanation.
Fatty.
And also had the legendary Megazord. And the, whatever the heck they're calling the, yeah, I can't. Frank Fart here.
Train fart.
Legendary Morpher?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't tell how big it's supposed to be. I also see that there's a chest there.
Yeah, there is a chest. I'm very excited about the chest.
That looks very much like the chest released in the Gokaiger line. That was the only way to get the Deluxe Ninja Red Key.
Right, and I want that chest.
Yes, must have the chest. I must have all the keys.
I'll grab that chest. Probably grab the legendary Megazord. It's $30. Serviceable.
Yeah. I mean, it's still kind of a terrible Megazord, but.
Well, and see, the beauty of it, though, is that with all those connector ports on the outside of it, it's not just the Super Megaforce toy line you can combine it with. Anything that came before can be an upgrade.
Yes.
Well, that's much more interesting now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
And anything after.
Well, until they change their connection style again. But yeah, basically. So when we get the U.S. GoBusters line in 2018, you can totally add that to your Gokaio now.
So, it looks like the Legendary Megazord doesn't have any doors open up on it.
Right, the ports are on the outside, so you just plug the stuff onto it directly.
Cheap.
I'm not certain how well that's going to look.
Oh, it's not.
Awful. It's going to look awful.
Yeah, it's not going to look at all.
You think they're going to do a release of the Japanese Gokaio like they've done with the previous two Megazords?
If Toys R Us will take it, probably.
God, I hope
previous
so.
Two?
I haven't even seen Go Say Great anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't either.
They released Go Say Great?
Allegedly.
Yeah, but I don't know anyone that's seen it.
I've just seen a bunch of Shinkanos.
They keep going up in price.
I haven't
well,
even
that's
seen
Toys R Us.
I saw a stack of Legacy Morphers today.
If there's one thing Toys R Us knows how to do, it's raise prices.
Oh, man.
Clearly,
oh, this is actually
not
selling?
So much.
Shit, we gotta stop that.
If all this stuff sells, you won't have any to put on the shelf anymore.
What?
A lot of Toys R Us worries about having empty shelves.
Oh, they never have to worry about that. They've always got two or three aisles full of summer movie toys from the last five or 6 years.
There's always Transformers movies toys to fill those shelves.
Or, you know, A-Team or Prince of Persia.
Or Thundercats.
Iron Man.
They finally got rid of Dragon Knight, so...
Something I find hilarious is that one of the Walmarts around here still has Iron Man 2 figures on the shelf. Mm-hmm. For $5, and they still won't sell even place right next to the Iron Man 3 figures.
Yeah, they won't even trick people. It's awesome.
Well, it's like, you know, they're better figures for half the price, and people still don't want them.
Yeah. Well, people probably have all of those already. I mean, just because
don't know the difference.
Just because it's a better toy doesn't. Just because it's a better toy doesn't mean you want another one of the same thing instead of a. Inferior new toy. You just buy nothing then.
Well, buy nothing?
That's what they've done.
Yeah, JD, you should try it sometime.
I don't understand this buy nothing concept. Is that like when you buy something else instead of the thing you wanted?
I buy nothing all the time. I'm buying nothing right now.
What if you're interested in buying something, but you're not sure?
Well, then you're just disappointed, aren't you?
That doesn't make you buy curious?
No.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. We walked right into that one.
I had to deliver the punchline, though, so y'all suck.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the American mobile race has no buttons on it, which I'm sure surprises no one.
Yeah, that's about par for the course.
But it also is like the top springy bit. Only the tips of the swords move out, and everything else just sort of stays in cross formation.
On the other hand, maybe it will cost less than the $25 to go say more for costs.
Well, it depends what sounds it has.
The number of sounds isn't as big of an issue. I think what put the price of the go say more for up was being able to read the cards.
Yeah.
Because that's a barcode reader, right?
Yeah.
Of some form, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, using the teeth and the keys is a... it's a complicated system still, but it's technologically less complicated.
It's just a series of physical buttons.
Right, it's not, a major electronic system.
Now, we're assuming, though, that the keys will make different noises other than just saying, go, go, super mega force. They can all make the same noise.
Yeah, we are assuming that.
Well, did anybody scrutinize the teeth patterns on those keys?
No.
Could we see teeth patterns on those keys?
Yes, you can. Here, let me linky. Yeah,
now, that's where we come to again. Like, do the keys have an IR in them? And that may... You know,
those
that
teeth
may...
look pretty universal to me, but then again, that's doesn't look one good. Series.
Let me see.
Well, and that's where I say it's like, is it possible that there's a chip in the body of the key?
That would seem like it'd be even more expensive, though.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was just something, just one mold that they just used a early run of whatever one mold they had
that
nearest to
them.
Well, okay, and remember how the...
These are just mock-ups.
Remember the way the Gokaiger keys work, too. There's two sides of the keys, which... makes different sounds happen. The functional part on these could be the other side that we can't see from this angle.
Well, there's the other side.
Oh, well.
Different set of keys, though, so it doesn't officially confirm anything, but...
But those look pretty similar still.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all from the same team, though, so it's kind of hard to say.
No, because there's red space and yellow not space.
Oh, shit, yeah, you're right. Yep, you are right.
Well, damn.
Of course.
Well, still, we'll just wait and see. I mean, you know. Well,
hopefully Fort Max is correct.
Yeah.
When do you ever expect to hear someone say that?
Hoping for Fort Max to be right. I hope you save that audio, Fort Max, because that's once in a lifetime thing. He's gonna, you know what he's gonna do? He's gonna like play that back now. Like he's gonna save that. It's gonna be like his ringtone. Like every time his phone rings, it's gonna be like, I hope Fort Max is right.
No, I just play it back when it was around, when I'm around Mickey.
There you go. Oh, that's an even better idea. I like that a lot.
It looks like the Gokai Morpher comes with either suspenders or like a some kind of printer cable attached to it.
Suspenders or printer cable.
It could be some kind of flat Twizzlers. I don't know.
It looks like
a fruit roll up.
Okay, this one has been modified so that they could have had it hooked up to a speaker for demonstration. But they didn't.
That's ridiculous.
Actually do that.
These are clearly 80s era suspenders.
The Japanese toy shows will usually have something similar to this when they have a demonstration table. You know, they wire it up to a good sounding speaker instead of the crappy little toy speaker so people can actually hear it in a crowded showroom.
Hmm. Strange.
I'm trying to imagine the Gokai Morpher being louder than it already is. Like, you know, you turn the key and, like, blast a sound wave that knocks out windows.
Well, in your house, how can you tell the difference?
Oh,
they could
man.
Just be falling out by themselves. Ooh. So, Barricade, what do you think of this stuff?
Most of it really doesn't interest me. I've got a Mobirits already. I was hoping the keys would actually be good so I could pick them up and have some relatively cheap keys, but not looking like that.
So his opinion is basic fanboy. Okay.
Basically, though, depending how you would be able to obtain them, getting certain keys like the Go On Wings or Ninja Red might be still cheaper and easier with the American versions, even if they're not quite the same.
But if they're not compatible on the mobile rates, it kind of defeats the purpose of getting them.
Not if you just want to have, you know, a full set to set up on the shelf.
Joining it for everybody.
Which one?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yes.
The truth is ruining it.
Damn that. Swordfish.
Whispering Cylon.
The files are inside the computer.
So what else? What else came out of Comic-Con that we can talk about?
Jason David Frank.
He was all over the place. He just never went away.
Ever.
Die Ranger suits will be used in Super Mega Force.
Yeah.
That's good. Weird. I guess.
I gotta say, I saw that one picture of like the Reds all standing there. And I went and counted them, and I was like, there's 20 here. What the hell? And then I realized they used the female Shinken Red, and I was like, oh.
Did they actually not have Quantum Ranger in the Red Shark group for once?
It doesn't look like it.
Well, you know, this time they don't need him to pad out the numbering.
Yeah.
They got 20 legitimate Reds this time. Instead of 9 Reds in the Quantum. I don't know. Oh, okay. So, the 98 disc DVD set, Fort Max, talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Shout is releasing a 98 disc set with everything up through Megaforce. And two empty slots for you to put your movie discs in.
That's and nice.
And it's in a giant Red Ranger helmet package. That is not going to fit on a regular DVD shelf at all.
But, okay, that's not the important question, though. The important question is, will that case fit on a person's head?
It'll fit on a person's head.
Shelf Factory has said that it will not fit heads. It will only fit DVDs.
Yeah, the back
well,
of it,
you know
it,
what? I think Shelf Factory is just not trying hard enough.
And I am kind of wondering how Shout Factory is it going to be able to include the Samurai, Super Samurai, and Megaforce, considering those are Lionsgate series, but, well, it's happening either way, so...
Is it going to have the remastered in there as well?
it better.
But you don't know at
this
point.
Know, and I'm probably not getting it at all.
Wow.
Well, I didn't I didn't suspect you were going to buy it. I just figured, you know, since you tend to like to bother what's his name on Twitter.
I think you should get it. You know, to represent.
Yeah.
So then I'd be paying money for Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it looks like you can't
be made.
Okay, I mean, you have to take it into you have to take the whole thing into consideration here. You'd only be paying a little bit of money for Samurai versus what you'd be paying for all the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure is going to be several hundred dollars.
No,
it would fit into this.
Totally.
Yeah. Like I said, if you can't fit a head into that thing, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be your head anyway.
It just has to be someone's head.
I find it a lot easier.
To reveal the price and have the entire fandom like drop a load in their shorts.
Here's how you fit a head into that. Take a head, put it in a blender, and then put it into Ziploc bags, and then you can just slide it right into those slots. It's real easy.
Basically, I've found that as long as it's not your head, it's pretty easy to make a head fit into just about anything.
Sure. I mean, you might want to soften it.
Now, we have no word on when they're going to do any of the post-Lost Galaxy DVDs outside of the giant head, so...
Maybe the Fort Max will try to bring it back and make it classy.
But then he said
giant head.
What do
you predict for a price on this thing?
$300.
$301.
Actual retail price? $600.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, $599, $650, something like that.
I don't think they'd be able to sell it that high.
Well,
it's not going to.
Sure, they
be
will.
At retail stores, it's probably just going to be from their website.
Oh, absolutely. I just don't think anyone would buy it at $600.
Well, I think how much was the previous set they did that covered Mighty Morphin through Lost Galaxy?
That was what, 150? Was it?
God.
Fort like Max?
I think so. That sounds about right.
I think say 450, maybe?
Maybe.
That's what I say, though. I think Jason David Frank will just buy them all. So, it could be good.
They'll have to give them away in contests.
He'll buy a bunch of them and paint them green.
Wrong helmet.
With or without the silver stripes?
I got this. You buy these, and then you paint the helmets up like the VR Trooper repainted the helmet.
Oh. Wow.
Battle Grid helmet case. That. Yeah, that was totally a thing, Mickey. Go watch some VR Troopers.
Battle Grid.
No.
No, then you would have to watch VR Troopers.
I refute thee.
That's just
Remember,
a ruse to get people to watch.
All of those, whenever those appeared, Sakamoto was directing.
Was he?
Yeah, his first work at Saban was Battle Grid stuff.
Oh,
how sad
so
for
Sakamoto
him.
Directed that talking dog.
Well, the talking dog wasn't in the Battle Grid.
Was he?
In the basement.
Absolutely.
No, he was in the gun.
Wow. See, at least Barricade's keeping up with the tropes.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know Sakamoto directed the Battle Grid sequences.
Makes it's sense. Hard to tell because there's no skirts in the Battle Grid.
Oh, and that's funny after watching Ultimatum.
Yes. It was like a lot of that was filmed in patented Sakamoto vision.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's brilliant. Yes. Oh.
Are all those schoolgirls in the same creepy age range as Kyoru Pink?
Oh,
I'm just going to assume yes.
Probably.
Man, Ultimatum. I was like, I really felt creepy after I watched some of those parts of Ultimatum.
And I think you should, too.
God.
On the other hand, it made Force's Hyper Battle video canon.
Yeah.
Well, we can save
what
this. We'll
do the Hyper Battle video again?
Amazon. We can save this. We'll talk about Ultimatum next week.
Yeah.
I guess that.
Yeah.
Have you already watched Ultimatum?
No.
Ultimatum just
still needs have.
It just came out.
I thought this was just like a director's cut or something that we already watched the main movie.
No.
No.
No,
with Ultimatum, the director's cut and theatrical version came out at the same time.
Ah, okay. So
it's hard
not
to pay attention because it involves Wizard.
Didn't the same
some of the best Wizard you'll ever watch.
Haruto actually has a personality.
Yeah.
Didn't the same thing happen, the director's cut in the theatrical? Wasn't it the same thing as with Superhero Wars?
That didn't have a director's cut.
There was some movie before this one, though, that had...
Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was the first time a Sentai movie's had a director's cut.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Now that you've said that, I remember that as being true.
Okay.
So I can verify that now.
I am also glad that we cleared that up. Because that was important.
Okay, so, Paladin, do we have anything else in the news this week?
Besides the San Diego Comic-Con stuff?
Where have you been? We've been talking about that for like 20 minutes already.
Yeah, f*** you too.
See, I knew one word would be in there.
There's the 2-foot-tall Megazord.
Which was
what is up with that?
Comic-Con. I don't know. The tag for it says release under consideration, which could mean anything.
It's like...
It means
we made this. Does anyone actually want it, though?
Right? It means they're taking cues from Bandai of Japan.
Does it do anything, or is it just one of those jumbo things that they used to release for the late Disney shows?
It turns into the tank mode.
You mean it sits down?
Yes. And its hands tuck in.
Yep. It is a thing.
Where are the,
come
are
on,
there,
don't you
where
think it'd be cool to have a Megazord fight in Metroplex?
Well, I mean, Metroplex basically was the Transformer Megazord.
But if this Megazord is 2 feet tall, it really should have had some articulation in it. Like elbows?
Isn't this supposed to be like remote control or something?
No, I don't think so.
Well, that sucks. You know, if you had a 2 foot tall electronic Megazord that could sit itself down to the tank mode, then you could drive it around.
That would be awesome.
That would be the best toy ever.
Ken could drive it.
I'm just thinking of, like, the cat-chasing potential.
I'm thinking the 2-foot-tall Megazord should have helicopter blades on the shoulder so it can fly around.
You could chase Ken with it. Normally, I take it easy on Ken, but, you know, where's Ken?
He's not here, so
he's busy playing World of Warcraft, so...
Yet he still has time to use Twitter.
That's what I said! Of course, this time he was smart and he hasn't replied back to it yet.
That's like just as bad as like when you call into work and then you're like calling the office for stuff, you know? Like, no, bad idea. So no, you get no saves there, Ken. Sorry, buddy. You get chased with a remote control Megazord.
I wonder how big the helicopter blades on the shoulders would have to be to lift a 2 foot tall Megazord.
Well, he'd have to be made of foam, first of all.
Yeah, this thing's definitely reminding me of the jumbo ones that they did as early as in space, I think.
Really?
Yeah, there was and the jumbo Astro Megazord transformed too.
And it was a parts former, but.
It's still transformed.
And actually, that was a Japanese toy.
Transformed like the ride vendor, you mean?
Did the ride vendor parts form?
No, I mean, do you sit on top of it and say, okay, it transformed?
Oh, okay. That's an option, too. We can get Ken to try that.
Ken.
Ken, come sit on this and see what happens.
Intro quote.
Never do that if Mickey if Mickey tells you to come sit on this. Just walk away.
Very nice. Okay, so any non-Comic-Con news this week?
Well, we did get a preview for the Megaforce Rangers using their Ultra Mode armor.
Yay! Yawn.
Lucky draw.
Lucky
the
draw.
Bodies of Tom Servo and Crow, remember?
Yeah, lucky draw.
Or the Ghosty Gumball dance gay shit.
Thank you, Magenta. That was Magenta, right?
That was Heat.
Heat, okay. Look, all these fan subbers basically look alike to me. Don't judge me.
To me, they're all the same people.
That's racist.
To me, fan subbers they're all just walls of text.
Yeah. All I know is that I wait, and then things appear.
Fan subbers to me are all Aegis subscripts. So, there you go.
Yes. But thanks.
Well, yeah, it's not that I'm not grateful or anything.
Right. I mean, we appreciate it and all, but you're just not important enough for us to distinguish between each of you as individual people. You're really sort of a legion of...
We're really thankful for the fan-subbing robots out there.
The fan-subbing drones that whatever individual pieces that you do to form the gestalt that is fan-subbing... We appreciate that much, but not enough to actually learn your names as though you're individual people.
Yeah,
we
pretty
refer to fan subbers as you people.
Right.
We don't already?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, see, the sad part is there's only one fan subbing outfit that we can distinguish completely from all the others, and that's TV Neon.
Right.
And that's just because they're not good enough to be lumped into the aggregate.
Yeah, that's not really like a distinguishing feature.
Well, no, it is, because it distinguishes them from all the rest of them just in a negative way.
Right. Not you quite know. The way they wanted
to. If TV Nihon were a retail outlet, it would be like Dollar General or Family Dollar, where they have the same kinds of brands of toys, but they're the scaled-back, cheaper, crappier versions.
Or it would be the Summer's Movie toy lines.
Yes.
No, like the Ranger toys, you know, with no elbows or legs.
Right.
Packaged with a Megazord of equal size.
I think they'd more fit with the knockoffs on chrome-covered, gaudy.
So they'd be Big Lots.
God.
No, they're not carrying Masters of the Universe toys.
Also not carrying bum shelves.
Bum shelves?
Shelves for homeless people?
What the hell is that?
Now, is
I bought
shelves
some shelves from them today, and they both broke.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, bum shelves. Okay, now we're with you.
Okay, see, I was thinking there would be shelves that you put homeless people on.
Yeah, really?
Like for display?
Like storing? Like storing, like homeless people storage?
That's a good idea.
Normally you want to keep them on overstock, though.
So you bought two things of shelves from Big Lots, and they both broke the same way.
Hmm.
Yeah, I bought the first one yesterday. I built it. It's fine. It's standing. And I bought two more of the same unit today, and they both broke.
Hmm.
Now, are you sure that's a problem with the shelves and not the, you know, builder?
What was on the shelves?
It's not like a user error or something?
Was it all the bums on the shelves?
Yeah, how big was the homeless person you put on that shelf before it broke?
How many homeless people put that thing together?
I'm just going to look for some better shelves, possibly.
See, he is the substitute, Ken, because we're just piling all this on, and he's just kind of ignoring it and moving on.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, damn it.
Yeah, I'm just conceding here.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Right.
That's basically what Ken does, too.
Yeah, that's the safe call. That's fine. If you want to be safe, you know. Don't rock the boat or anything. Don't, you know.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Don't defend yourself in any way. Just take it like the bitch you are. It's fine. That's the way you want to go.
Feel the sting of our whip.
Could have been his fault.
I mean, you did want to come on the show, so you accepted the call. So, just saying.
Well, it was either that or watch Ultimatum, and I wanted to avoid Wizard.
It's not bad. Other than the...
Okay, overtime is terrifying.
Other than the creepy stuff, then it's not too bad.
Is it their Ultraman Ginga 2 cover image?
God. Feel the pedophilia. Yes.
Oh, God.
And suddenly Koichi Sakamoto is not the dirtiest thing I've seen this week.
It's that episode of Stronger all over again. Ultraman? What, Mickey?
Doesn't Ken watch Ultraman?
Yeah,
I think so.
Probably.
I think Gobblers does too.
Megan was wanting to use this image just to continue the theme of Toro being knocked over.
It's so dark, though.
I don't get it.
The cover image for the first episode had a little figure basically the same way, just in a different environment.
Because Ultraman can't stand up on its own.
Yes.
Well, so far it's just Tara with that problem.
Yeah, that means absolutely nothing to us, Fort Max.
Yeah. Bacon. So far, bacon is the only other thing that doesn't... What? I have no idea.
Okay, there were a couple Japanese items this week that may have slipped under the radar at SDCC. We saw Burning Agito figure arts for the first time and Z-Cross figure arts for the first time. Both of which look okay if you give a shit.
And we all totally give shits. Right?
JD right? does frequently.
I give so many shits.
Two or three a day, at least.
Actually, no, it's usually just the one, but,
I think you maybe need some more fiber then, JD.
No, I just do one big shit a day.
Right, I think you probably need some more fiber then.
No, I'm good.
You know, get two or three going per day and it'll be a little easier on you.
No, because it's so complicated. I don't like it.
Shitting's not that complicated, JD.
Well, try being enormously fat and shitting, okay? It's not that easy.
Didn't George Carlin have a bit about that?
I wouldn't. He had a bit about everything, man. The dude was prolific.
I was going to say, it's a safe bet either way.
Yeah. He was Rufus.
And, you know, if he didn't already have one, he probably was thinking of one at some point.
Yep.
Okay, so if that's all in the news this week...
Well, unless we want to address the latest Kamen Rider Gaim rumors.
No? Sure, why not?
Apparently, Gaim is fruit-themed.
Fruit?
Yes.
Fruit. I bet his orange form will be delicious.
Can you define that more?
Fruit Samurai.
Yes. Fruit? And his driver is apparently called the Sengoku driver.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Does that mean a thing? Is that a thing?
It does. I just don't know what it means.
Okay, so...
I bet if Ken was here, he could tell us.
Wow.
Barricade, you're the substitute Ken this week. What does Sengoku mean?
I can tell you what Sengoku means, but I have no idea what Sengoku means.
Wow, that's not
even... It probably means the same thing.
That's, that's so great.
I mean, it's pretty close, so I mean...
Okay, well, the Sengoku belt will turn your hair blonde when you get really mad, and it'll eat a whole lot of food.
Wouldn't that be the Super Sengoku belt that turns the hair fruit. Blonde?
Right. That's like saying applesauce and maple syrup are like the same thing because they sort of sound. That's awful. Okay.
Okay. Anyway. I actually did the smart thing and looked it up.
Okay.
And Sengoku apparently commonly is the word for the Warring States period in Japan.
Oh, God. Even better.
So, I mean, well,
you know what that
the,
means.
That goes with the samurai thing.
So it's a fruit pun.
Edo period, here we come.
Every other week, I'm sure. The Edo period will be Gaim's version of the battle grid.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Sane? If the whole series was just set in the Edo period.
Escalate to the Edo grid.
They could do that, you know.
No. No, they can't.
They might. Can. They think God. People like the Edo period. They desperately need a ratings boost.
I would.
I mean, people in Japan do like it, though.
I would could buy be. A plane ticket.
Well, I mean, isn't Edo period Japan?
You cannot
kind
fly
of...
to the Edo period.
Isn't Edo period Japan like, you know, Wild West stuff? In America.
You cannot fly to the Edo period. It has to be an intro quote, by the way. I'm just saying.
All right, fine. I wasn't paying attention. Who said that?
It's Paladin. It's too awesome not to keep.
I think the whole series in the Edo period, and instead of being a motorcycle, he just had a horse.
Oh, God.
No. It would be in the Edo period set, but everything would still be somehow modern day.
Oh, God. No.
Which I...
Is that different from any other time it's used?
No.
Well, usually when it's used, it's a matter of time travel. I'm saying it would be the Edo period set, but everything would be current. It would just be the location there. But they would still have,
you move downtown Tokyo residents into the Edo period set?
Yes.
Well, they're going to need space eventually, right?
Yes, so we'll fly them to the Edo period.
So, I saw somewhere there was a rumored list of fruits that he was going to use. Was that true or not?
He will insert items called lock seeds into the driver to unlock new powers, apparently.
I am so hoping this is not true.
And the driver acts like a knife that will slice away the fruit.
Make it not true. Make it not true.
Oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, God.
It's either going to be terrible or it's going to be completely ridiculously awesome.
Why?
Judging by JD's reaction, I'm going to go with ridiculously awesome.
I'm kind of thinking about the Kamen Rider G a little bit.
Yeah.
No. Where's... Why?
See, now, I wonder if Gaim...
So his catchphrase will be, taste my citrus?
Yes.
Oh.
And then I wonder if Gaim will have, like, you know, Kuga had his growing form initially. I wonder if Gaim will start with, like, an underripe form.
Form. Oh, God.
His ultimate form will be fruit salad.
Now, if he does use the phrase, toss your salad, then I might be on board for a minute, but... Wow.
Ultimate attack, salad tosser.
And his gun will be the salad
shooter. According
to
the listings, the driver won't go on sale till October. And Wizard only ends at 51 episodes, which is mid-September, so there'll be something else in between then, maybe.
No, it just means that the driver toy will be 2 weeks after the show starts.
Yeah.
Why does Wizard get 51 episodes?
Because hatred and despair?
I don't know. It's starting... things are sort of happening-ish.
I did look into last week's when I heard about the new plot twist, and it's still not enough to make me give a shit.
And it's the... The plot twist is...
Well, at some point.
The new plot twist is... Well, oh, we're just going to introduce this new guy, and suddenly he's the plot twist.
What?
No, there's the other twist, too.
The one before that.
Just say what the twist is.
All right, it's since lemon. It's Wizard and nobody cares, Koyomi is the White Wizard's daughter.
Yeah.
Wow, yawn. That's incredibly uninteresting.
Well, duh, you would say that. But
and Haruto's taking the Inoue approach. He's purposely not telling anyone about this.
Well, I was going to say...
Wizard's head writer is specifically trying to write like Inoue, which... Why would you do that?
It's like working in the comics industry in America and trying to write like Frank Miller.
Or draw like Liefeld.
Yes. The same thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I want to be just like Liefeld.
What?
You heard it here first. Wizard's head writer is Pat Lee.
It all makes sense.
Wow. So, Wizard's writer isn't paying any of the staff either?
Now I'm picturing Kamen Rider Wizard reaching for a purse.
But they've fallen into despair. And they're trying to take the audience down with them.
Okay, somebody listening to the show who can draw, do us a Wizard in Pat Lee style.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm trying.
Why would you want someone who can draw to do this?
And then you're gonna take that beautiful wizard... and turn it into, like, a fat... Now, if you did it in a Liefeld version, that would be hilarious. Because then it would just have really weird feet.
It wouldn't have feet.
He would have tons of pockets.
It wouldn't have feet. He'd be standing behind some conveniently placed rocks.
Right. There would be, like, a rock.
Yeah.
So how would you do the kicks?
Yeah, well... What you do is you put a big energy ball over the foot.
Yeah. No. You'd still have the kicks, but just for no reason there would be some obstruction in front of the feet, like, you know, a tree or birds or something.
Right. Yes. This.
You know. You got to get creative. That's the whole point of being an artist. Creativity.
Right. Creativity. Creative ways to cover up how shitty of an artist you are.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the news for this week. So I think it's time for Garo.
It's a clip show. Can we move on now?
Yeah, it's a clip show. So basically, you know, the whole first half of the series was recapped, all the important things. But we did get one or two new little bits in this, like showing when Ryuga obtained the Garo armor.
Mm-hmm. And instead it just raises further questions.
It was the ultimate F you to everybody that's been going, how did he get the Garo armor? Because the answer is, he got it.
He got it.
The only question it possibly answers so far is how far from the previous Garo series this is set, which basically we can kind of assume it's at least 10 years past that point.
But it also doesn't answer why the armor went black in those 10 years between.
No, but I assume that's going to be plot point for later in the series.
Yeah, they did seem to hint that they're going to answer that question.
And they might actually answer that cliffhanger.
Possibly. Okay, so that was Garo for this week.
All right. Cool. Oh, yeah, and he made a grave. The end.
Garo.
Oh, that's not important. The one funny thing in this was, did they film that entire forest thing on a green screen?
Not all of it, just the walk-in. But yes, they couldn't, as Overtime so delicately put it, they couldn't be to actually, like, do the walk-in in the forest. They actually did that part on green screen.
I don't get that.
I don't either. You have this beautiful forest
that you're going to film the damn thing again. The only thing I can think is maybe they had to, like, reshoot that very late in the process.
Well, and it, to yeah, set it's up entirely on possible again. That was filmed early and they...
Maybe they thought people wouldn't care because it's not in the Edo period.
Or the lighting was bad. That's awesome. Or the lighting was bad or something. You know, I mean, any number of things. I mean, they seem pretty picky about look and feel, so...
That's just really weird.
All at night. But yeah, that was a strange choice, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Okay, so it's time now for a new discussion segment on the show.
Oh god.
Oh crap, what were we supposed to watch this week?
Well, you'll find out in a minute. So, podcast historians know that Superhero Time began in January 2010 following a very popular segment on New Soundwave about the then upcoming reveal of the revival of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But we started thinking, what if it hadn't been 2010? If the show was produced before 2010, what would we be discussing? And from that comes the What If Weekly. In a desperate bid to fill time without enough current weeklies to go around, we'll look back at the episodes we would be covering in a different time and place. For example, what if Superhero Time was around in 2007? Well, on the fourth week of July 2007, we probably would be talking about episode 25 of Kamen Rider Denno. So, who actually remembered to watch this?
Not it.
Shit.
So, XV.
It has not been a good week, okay?
There was so much arguing about not doing this thing that nobody remembered.
But XV decided we were going to do it.
Right. He did right. He did decide to remember that we were going to do this.
And anyway, Mickey, I know you
our
watched
votes
it.
Were null.
And I like that Mickey is the one that was most adamant that we shouldn't do it and yet remembered to do it anyway.
I'm here to oppose both sides.
I can understand that position. Okay.
That position.
All right, so the episode opens and we find out that Ryotaro has a really creepily decorated bedroom. Because, like, what the hell is up with the posters and the little hangy things on his ceiling and everything?
It looks like he forgot to decorate his room.
Like, I mean, where'd all that stuff come from then?
Actually, I know what it is.
Leftover props?
He never decorated it. His two friends from the coffee bar came over and decorated it for him. Because they're creepy enough to do that shit.
And, you know, the way that looks, that makes a lot of sense. So, Ryotaro's asleep, but he's not alone in his bedroom. Something's scurrying around on the floor. And it turns out to be a tiny little dinosaur.
What?
A copy.
And then Deneb rushes in to catch it. Because why not?
Because Deneb.
Basically, yeah. So Deneb chases the little dinosaur around and catches it, and then Yuto comes in and berates him, as Yuto will do, before telling Deneb to grab Ryotaro and head off to the climax scene. They're late. So Ryotaro...
Nocturnal emission?
Ryotaro wakes up, and he's standing in the middle of Kyoryuger-ish. He's out in the field, and there's dinosaurs everywhere. And then Yuto pops up and gasses him.
From which end?
Yeah. Yes. And just before Ryotaro
loses... Or does he bravely let one rip?
Just before Ryotaro loses consciousness, he notices Urotaro is approaching, getting ready to enter him.
Alarming.
If you think it's alarming the way I describe it, you should actually watch it. So, opening, you know, time trip and ride and all that.
Catch the wave.
Yeah. So,
over time and space.
So it's the morning, and Ryotaro's back in his room. And he just had the strangest dream. And that's where I forget what happened in the episode.
Well, awesome. He wonders why his pillow is gone and why his butt hurts.
That's right. And then as he wanders out of his bedroom, you can see the little dinosaur footprint going up his door.
Because dinosaurs can walk on walls?
Apparently so. And you'll notice that dinosaur in his room didn't have feathers either, so you know that must be scientifically accurate since it came directly from the past.
Yes, because
dinosaurs did not have feathers.
Right.
Dinosaurs in the past didn't have feathers. It's only future dinosaurs that have feathers.
Dinosaurs now have feathers, but back in the 90s and the 80s, they did not.
Correct.
That's right.
That's how science works. Time is linear.
It's warped and time is bendable.
So anyway, in the coffee shop, what's-name stumbles in after tripping on a bottle outside because somebody threw a bottle under his foot because that guy. That's not really important. The whole point of him tripping and stumbling on the bottle outside is to get Irie out of the cafe.
Where she's slowly erotically inflating balloons.
How do you erotically inflate a balloon?
She's just sort of beaming at the pump and she's slowly pushing more and more air into the balloon, seeing how much it can take before it pops.
Have you not seen an Inoue episode?
I was going to suggest she was inflating it without using her mouth.
Well, she wasn't using her mouth.
Wow. Sir. Jesus. You know, I mean... I'm all for renewable, but I can't say I have ever thought of using a queef to inflate a balloon. That's amazing.
I think that's just made this whole concept worth it. What?
Hey, honey!
This whole exchange has made this entire segment concept worth it.
Just challenge your wife to do this on the podcast.
Do we have any balloons?
Wow. If a balloon is too much, just use a condom. They're a lot smaller.
Yeah, we do have condoms. So there's plenty of those around. Nothing!
So Ryotaro is talking to Hana about his dream, and she decides she's going to go and beat an answer out of Urotaro's. And even when Ryotaro says, no, that's okay, it probably doesn't matter, she's like, no, I'll totally go beat the shit out of him for you. And she dashes off to go and punch an Imogen.
Eager much?
Around that time, Yuto comes into the cafe also.
To be emo?
Pretty much, yeah. And after Irie leaves to take what's name to the hospital, because he fell down and, you know, might have skinned his knee or something, I don't know. Deneb takes over Yudo's body, and he grows a mullet. Because... mullet? I don't know.
Somebody inflated his hair.
Yeah, and dyed a lock of it green. So, Deneb's being Deneb and trying to make Yuto be friends with Ryotaro completely against his will, and then they start having a little fight inside Yuto's body. Because even when Yuto's not in control of his body, he can totally punch Deneb halfway out. somewhere else, a dude sleeping in a car gets bitten by a radioactive spider Imogen.
And he grows sideburns with the proportional size and creepiness of a real monster.
So he turns into Andrew Garfield?
Yes to both.
The end.
Mickey, what happens next?
On the Dinliner, what's her name? Coffee Girl serves Naomi. And Naomi serves a cup of coffee to Momo and Kentaros that's frosted in solid gold or something.
It's SDCC exclusive coffee.
And it makes them act classy.
See, it can't be SDCC exclusive then. They'd be fighting over it.
She's using her...
Actually, they were fighting over it.
Powers.
Yeah, they did fight over it. Did the fist fight over the Legacy Morpher actually happen?
All I heard was security was sent to the Bandai booth. I'm assuming the Legacy Morpher was involved. Because apparently some people found ways to break the one-person limit and walked away with, like, five of it.
Wow.
I wonder how they did that. I mean, did they just, like... Did they take, you know, the glasses with the nose and mustache on them, and after they bought the first one, they were still at the front of the line they put on? Like, I'll take one, too. And then after that, put a sombrero on, and, you know.
That would probably work.
Sombrero.
So Deneb eventually leaves Yuto to be friends with... How can I remember his name?
Who?
Deno. Main guy.
Ryotaro?
Ryotaro, thank you. I cannot remember his name for the life of me. Wait, he leaves him to go decorate the coffee shop like a constellation mixed with Christmas and a graduation party? I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah. Because there's a school class coming to the coffee shop? This episode doesn't make a lot of sense.
It might make more sense if we were actually Japanese.
Just kind of lead up to the movie, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the first of three episodes tying directly to the start of the movie.
So this is great.
It is, because this episode can stand by itself.
Well, it stands by itself, but it's just a whole lot of nonsense happening.
That's Deno.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep.
So, at some point, dude what got bit by the spider Imogen goes to visit his little sister in the hospital. And apparently the contract he doesn't remember making with the Imogen is for his sister who's sick and probably going to die, I assume. Because otherwise,
rabies.
Yeah, she has rabies.
I'm sorry, did you say rabies or scabies? I couldn't...
His wish is for her to see the starry sky one more time. And the spider Imogen wants to make this happen by tying her to a tower.
Well,
huh.
I mean, I guess that would work, wouldn't it?
Technically, it would, but... grants the wish.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's a really lazy way to grant the wish by the letter and not the spirit. I mean, he could have come up with something more horrible than that. Like, popped her eyes out and, like, taped them to the space shuttle.
Yeah, well, like, that's more lazy.
Just taped her to the space shuttle.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Or thrown her up into space directly. You never know.
Oh, even tying her, you know, to the top of a tower is a lot of effort. He could just like throw her out the window at night. He didn't have to do a lot of effort to accomplish this.
Yeah.
There you go, kid.
But I mean, if you think about it, a lot of Imogen plans seem oddly impractical.
They are kind of dumb people, ain't they?
A little bit, yeah. But Ryotaro and Yuto catch sight of the guy and notice all the sand pouring out of his boots and follow him. Their plan, because Yuto has limited transformations as Zeronos, is for Ryotaro to fight the Imogen while Yuto deals with the contract holder. But unfortunately, before they can quite get that far, Deneb pops out of a time hole, or a Deneb pops out of a time hole, and grabs Ryotaro again, leaving Yuto to use up one of his cards and fight the Imogen off. Ryotaro is stuck in the Zero Liner, watching the passage of time out the back window, and seeing lots of odd scenes of a movie. Zeronos fights the spider thing.
And just goes f***ing berserk on it.
And then it makes him stop. Because it's not right to hit him when he's down. But it is okay for Denim to just turn and shoot the f*** out of him with his fingers. That's fine.
That's fair play.
Sure.
He could have dodged the bullets.
Yeah, I'm sure he could have. He had all of like 5 feet to work with. So then Deneb takes over and they switch into Vega form and killed the f*** out of a spider Imogen. And Yuto's kind of fuming mad because Ryotaro took off and made him waste a card. And that's basically the episode.
Wow.
Well, basically the episode, except for the very end of it. Where Ryotaro's back in time and watching all the Imogen fighting all at once. Against an army.
Well, that was scenes from a movie.
Well, that's how it actually ends.
Eh. Half of the summary was out of sequence anyway.
Your mom's out of sequence.
If I knew I was going to be the only one who watched this, I would have, you know, actually prepared better notes. By which I mean notes at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe we'll do
better
next time.
Would have prepared them and then thrown someone under the bus to make them do it instead.
Well, I watched it, actually. That's what XV did the summary.
Well, yeah. I did the best part of the summary, you know, where Urataros entered the drugged Ryotaro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty satisfied with that.
He used his rod to reel him in.
That's right. And he also made a bunch of fishing references to Hana when she was questioning him about it, and I have no idea what the hell he was trying to say.
That might be because of the translation.
I'm going to assume that, yeah. And there's also the matter of this is one of those TV Nihon episodes that were encoded ridiculously and won't actually play normal.
The HD version plays fine.
The what?
The HD version plays fine.
I don't
think
I have
that. But still, come on, it's Urataros. 90% of his sayings can come down to roses are red, violets are blue, you're really hot, let's f***.
Intro quote. Alright, so, that's actually all the weekly stuff we have for this week.
Awesome.
It feels so weird when we don't have, you know, one current thing to talk about. Because we did
I watched the first episode of Ultraman Ginga.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, I downloaded it. I even downloaded the second episode.
I've watched both.
Haven't watched it yet.
Nobody is it good? Is it worth watching?
It is interesting.
It's Ultraman.
So well, at this point, Ultraman might not be worse than Kyoruger or Wizard.
Hey, Kyoruger is awesome.
Yeah, but JD is wrong.
It's definitely better than Wizard.
What isn't? At this point, I would almost venture to say Ghost Ager was better than Wizard.
What about Kiva?
I don't hate Haruto nearly as much as I hated the Ghost Agers.
You know, I can almost
I don't
hate
even hate Shunpei nearly as much as I hated the Ghost Agers.
I can almost take Kiva. Almost. As long as I ignore about half of what's going on, I can take Kiva.
Yeah, the 86 stuff is good. For the most part.
Yeah, mostly.
And Nyx's costume was cool.
The 86 stuff is fun. It would be fun to have a Rider series set in that period full time. Just as something different to do one year.
How about a Rider series set in the 80s of the Edo period?
How would you tell the difference?
What about a Rider series that followed the original Kuga?
Agito?
I think we already had Agito.
The original
Agito was
Kuga.
Good.
Like, Godai wasn't the first one.
Oh, historical Kuga.
Yeah.
With horse armor.
Or historical O's.
Yeah, the original O's.
The story of King O's, where he's the villain.
And he's played by Kogami.
Yes.
Yeah.
For no reason other than they just want to cast him again.
Yeah.
Well, that would be awesome.
What more reason do you need?
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, we're loving Kogami. Like I said, Amanda and I are watching O's. And
what episode are you on?
Honey, what did we? What episode of O's did we just finish? 15? 16? It was the first appearance of Birth, because at the end of it, it was like, oh shit, that's not Goto.
So what do you think of Date?
This is all I've seen. I mean, that's what I'm saying. All I've seen is
Date yet.
Yeah,
you haven't got the Kogami's best part yet, which is a few episodes away.
Am I wrong in saying that this guy is based on like the Gecko character from Wall Street in terms of Kogami?
I haven't seen Wall Street.
Okay.
Have you gotten to the Feather Boa yet?
Apparently not.
Okay. No, that was
18 or 19. I don't remember. Correct.
I was going to say like 20. It was after New Year's, I think.
Yeah, this was just like
just
Christmas.
A few episodes after Birth.
Yeah, and like
after Birth.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the episode that we watched, I believe, was 15 or 16, because at the end of it, he untransforms, and it's like, oh shit, that's not Goto, and that's all I knew.
But there was a big tentacle monster, and two of the greeds died, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. Did they actually die, or are they coming back? I'm assuming they're coming back.
Maybe. Keep watching.
Okay, thanks. I'm not worried they're coming back. But, yeah.
Has Uva disappeared yet?
Okay, let's ask that question a different way.
For like 30 episodes, you can't even tell.
Yeah, let's ask the question a different way. Has the series gotten a lot less boring lately and you're not quite sure why?
No, Uva has not disappeared yet.
Okay.
No, because Uva just drove the getaway van like an episode ago. He did try to steal... He may have just disappeared, because he did just try to steal Mizzou's last core medal and then like ran off. So maybe he did just disappear. But it's hard to tell when you're like watching it if someone just disappeared for 30 episodes. You know, just saying.
Now, I can say this at least. When Uva appears later in the series and you find out why he hasn't been seen, it's the greatest and yet most boring reason possible you could think of.
Wow. Yes.
It's like Uva's one great moment, and it's still boring as all hell.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it was a very good plan. It was also it was a very good plan, and it was also the perfect, very good plan for Uva.
Right. But that's all we're going to say.
Oh, well, that was great. I'm glad that you left it really vague for me. So.
Well, we didn't talk about the tentacle rape part.
No, you did not. So.
See, so you still got a surprise to wait for.
There is that.
The best part of the series is 27 and 28.
Because tentacle rape is always a surprise.
Yeah, or it should be. But I'm liking it. I mean, you know, AG's kind of like the fuck, and he doesn't always have his shit together, but you know.
But he always has tomorrow's underwear.
He kind of lucks his way into like doing the right thing sometimes, which is a lot. There's several episodes where Amanda and I have been like, AG, what the f*** are you doing?
Well, he's high on mushrooms most of the time, I think.
I think so. It's that whole like hippie international traveler thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
move, AG, go. And he's basically lost all the core medals at this point, so there's that as well.
Yeah, he's kind of bad. Of
I love Ankh. Ankh's great.
Yeah, Ankh's great.
Yes. How can you not love Ankh? You know, it's like...
I mean, all Ankh wants to do is strangle people, and conveniently, he has a hand to do it with.
I mean, that's all you
need. No. There are two... No, there's one other thing.
Ice cream.
Yes.
Well...
Okay, Amanda's saying that AG is Mr. Magoo, so there's her.
Huh.
So. The great thing about Ankh is that how much he almost murders people throughout the entire series.
He does a lot of grabbing
people
by the...
He wants to do it so badly, but he never does.
He does a lot of grabbing people by the face, which is kind of great.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, no. AG's appearance in Ultimatum 2, as we'll talk about too, was excellent. Because that was awesome. I'll condense it down for you as a preview. Hi, I'm AG. Thanks. That was his appearance in Ultimatum. Hi, I'm AG. Hold my underwear for a second. Thanks a bunch. All right, gotta go.
His appearance is, hi, I'm AG. Toei still has me under contract.
Right. I still have to do this.
And I'm the only one they still have under contract.
He did.
Even though I shoot this from behind, so it makes it look otherwise.
Please send help.
I will say that he did kind of look almost badass for just a minute. Yeah.
Well, that tends to happen when people are in movies directed by Sakamoto.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's true. This is.
Oh, they look really hot.
Yeah. Just wait until you get. Wait until you watch Excel Punches People the movie.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Cause okay, remember in Double Shotaro's detective friend or police detective friend?
Oh yeah.
He gets a badass moment in the movie too.
Damn.
Yeah, so
he is a master at Jackie Chan style fighting.
Damn. I need to be in this guy's movies. This is what I bet you can make a fat guy awesome.
I hope you like wire work.
He made that fat kid. He made that fat kid awesome in Ultimatum though, in the Forza part. So you know,
I'm not picturing JD in a wire harness
with like 30 guys holding the wires. All right, he's gonna jump off this thing, and there's like 50 nervous dudes just sweating bullets. Oh Jesus!
Yeah, the pose of Trinity from the Matrix before he goes into a Rider kick.
30 guys go flying in the air. Dude killed half of Japan. He's doing firework, but he looks badass.
Go back.
Looks amazing though. There are no young men in Japan anymore, but that film is worth it.
All right, let's take a break.
Meteo, ready? You're listening to Superhero Time.
Man, I don't know if I can last much longer. Come on, hang in there.
Timmy Pete's real brand mayonnaise.
Aufgepasst, Motomorph Rangers! Angriff der Aliens! Mit dem Chip aktivierst du den Verteidigungsmodus und verwandelst sie in coole Helden! Mit den Motomorph-Figuren schlägst du alle Gegner in die Flucht! Power Rangers Motomorph-Figuren, nur echt von Bandai!
It's time for Power Playback! Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So this week on Power Playback, we did something different. Sort of. Well, not really different, but old. How old is Super One?
23?
This episode was October something, 1980.
So almost 23 years old.
I actually saw it on the sub.
Almost 23 years old, Mickey?
Yes, 23 years old.
23?
Yes, absolutely.
23.
23, as in 203.
It's from 1980.
That's like when my friend said, 13 months, that's almost a year.
The 80s are not 30 years away. That is not possible.
Well, okay, that's good to know.
So anyway, Power Playback this week was episode 2 of Super 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, episode 2.
Because a lot of the episode 1
makes just as much sense as it sounds.
Actually, episode 2 is probably better than episode 1.
Yeah, looking at the recap for this, I'm kind of thinking we made the right choice blindly.
We totally did. Because I've seen episode 1 and it was not as badass as episode 2.
Okay, so here's the thing everybody's been waiting for. JD, in the style of Headmaster Don, summarize this for us.
Okay, so, all right. Now, I wish you would have had me, like, summarize this a week ago, because I had it ready, but I'll try to do it now. Super One, Super One, episode starts out where he's talking about the previous episode, and where he actually, I'm not sure. I think he was on a space station, maybe, or Nevada. I don't understand.
A space station or Nevada. I mean, I can understand how you might confuse the two.
I think he was an astronaut. I don't know why.
You sure it wasn't a space station in Nevada?
It could have been. Well, I don't know.
Or was it a Nevada station in space?
Look, Kat, would you? Okay. So he decides that he's got to learn how to transform. He can do it. So he goes and learns Kung Fu in Japan. Kung Fu in Japan. Okay. So, this is awful. So, so he goes to Japan, and I don't know. What's important is he beats the ass of like 100 guys at once. Because there's a guy that killed. Okay, have you seen Captain America? It's basically the plot of that. No?
The 1980 Captain America movie?
Oh, no. Well, that was a good movie, too.
It was 1990.
Yeah, was it the 1993 Captain America movie?
See, that was a good movie, too, though. They had these
the
figures.
The one from 23 years ago?
I actually have all of those boxed as well, and they're in a back room. But actually, I had like 4 duplicates, and I sold all of them. But I do still have a box set of some of those Captain America figures. They were pretty good as well. Actually, if you really want to know about Captain America, no. Oh wait, we're doing Super One anyway. So. He's so gonna kill me.
Well, JD, just be happy you're not going to ShardaCon.
I might not be on RFC on Wednesday.
Oh, I hope you are. You have to be on RFC Wednesday after this.
So
now, has he had Don had anything to say about the lack of of what he was supposedly told was going? Well, what was implied was going to be at Comic Con.
So JD,
did you
have
say something?
JD, I have an idea for next week. Do a summary in the style of Fort Max.
Oh God, it would take forever. I don't even. I'm not sure I could.
Okay. So anyway.
Anyway. Okay. So here's the deal. Super One is like he was born out of a fiery inferno,
and then ended up in Nevada. He doesn't even know why. So then he goes to Japan to learn Kung Fu. Now, my understanding is that Kung Fu is from China, so I don't know why he's in Japan. I don't know. Anyway, so he's in Japan learning Kung Fu, and his master does this, like, Kung Fu voodoo, where he said, look into my eyes, and then, like, understands everything, and then he's like, okay, well, you have to learn this secret Shaolin fist, and then you can transform. And in order to do that, you have to get your ass beat by, like, 100 guys. So
for all we know, he could be into that.
So,
well, sounds kind of like how Skyrider trained.
He's adamant. He's like, yes, master, I will do that. So, now, why do you got to make it all nasty, though? I don't understand, because this is very serious. So, anyway, guys are nasty. Anyway, so the 100 guys come out and then they fight. Because, see, there's this guy that, like, killed. That's why I was. Okay, so, okay. In Captain America, right? Because I don't remember what I was talking about. In Captain America, right? Like, guy, like, broke into the laboratory and, like, shot the doctor. Right? Well, that's, like, what this guy is. He killed the scientist that made Super One. But Super One doesn't know how to transform. That's why he's got to do the whole secret Shaolin fisting technique or whatever it is. I can't remember.
This really is a plot to Captain America, isn't it?
So anyway, the 100 guys, like, jump him, and it turns out, like, the last one's his master, and his master throws him off the cliff of the quarry, and then he transforms. And he's like, remember to do that! His master's, remember how to do that, and then you're done. Congratulations. So anyway, so he goes back, and, like, his friends get beat up by the bad guy who killed his doctor friend. And then Super One comes in and he's like, hey, you're going to fight me. And so they fight. And then the guy, like, starts to get beat up. And then he turns into the Flaming Gorilla. And he's like, oh, you're the Flaming Gorilla. Well, I'm Super One. And then transforms. And then they fight. And he.
How many times in life can you just say, oh, you're the Flaming Gorilla?
Not nearly enough. I'm sorry.
Not often enough. So anyway, so they fight, and Super One kicks him with a whirlwind kick, and then he blows up. And everybody's like, "Holy crap! You're a Kamen Rider." The end.
Wasn't there a motorcycle at some point?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I almost forgot. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So okay. So, like, here's another reason why Super One is so great, because, see, he actually built his own laboratory, and, you know, because the Showa riders, they all have cybernetics, and so he actually built a laboratory to do diagnostic, and it, like, has a computer that talks to him and everything, and yeah, and he built his own motorcycles, because he doesn't have a Tachibana.
I like that you were starting with Tenchi Muyo, though.
So, yeah.
Well, that sure was a something.
That didn't go as well.
It was not very super.
Are you kidding? Super 1 is amazing.
Amazingly dull.
Are you kidding? This was awesome.
No, it was boring as f***.
No! You are wrong, sir. Super One is amazing. He built his own laboratory.
Oh, forget the laboratory.
He didn't do a damn thing with it.
The episode was 18 minutes of people standing around talking about Kung Fu and not doing anything.
Beat up like 100 guys.
Well, beat up might be a little bit strong. He punched each of them like once.
It was awesome.
I'm pretty sure that's
not actually. I almost forgot they're making a Kamen Rider episode to the last little bit. Like, oh shit, we need to make him transform.
That was amazing.
I still think this was probably a better episode choice than, you know, episode 1, the Super 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably even less would have happened in episode 1.
Well, If we had watched episode one, we probably would have seen him go to Nevada.
I mean, all it is, most of that is like, the first episode is really the thing in Nevada, and then him, you know, getting rebuilt. So it's not really, I mean, there's really nothing to it. And then the guy gets, I mean, literally, when I'm not kidding. It is literally the plot of Captain, like that first bit of Captain America, where like the scientist that creates him gets killed, and then he tries to avenge him, and then the whole place blows up. And then he doesn't remember where he is or gets lost or something.
Yeah. And never learned how to transform.
Yeah, he didn't learn. He didn't get the manual.
Yeah.
So he's sort of like the greatest American hero, where it's like he's got all these powers, but he didn't really have the manual.
Now I've got that song stuck in my head. Thanks.
Thank you so much. It's because we're friends that I can do that for you. I had a couple of good Dawn bits in there. Is I still, you know, I should have. I didn't practice ahead of time. I should have done a little bit more, but it wasn't bad.
You got the cat part in there, though. I mean, that's kind of important.
I did get a cat bit in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same when we can't actually watch the cat trying to kill him on video.
Yeah. You have to, like, imagine it.
Yeah. You know.
But, yeah.
I mean, seriously, Don's cat just seems to totally have it in for him.
Is it like my cat being an asshole?
Oh, it's much worse. It's much worse.
I've never seen an animal that, like, so hated their owner.
I mean, it's like Don's cat specifically waits for when Don is on video, and then just relentlessly lunges for his throat.
Yep.
Oh.
Or ankle, or whatever is handy, you know.
Yep.
But that cat just will not put up with him being on Skype. I don't know.
He's had enough of that shit?
I guess. Don has one angry cat. That's really all I know. You know, your cat at least is...
That is the moral of the story.
Your cat at least, you know, if you're not bothering it actively, it'll typically just seem to lay there and not mess with anything.
Well, now he does, but before he was a whirling dervish of hate.
Oh, well. See, I think Don's cat has some resentment because Don puts it in a harness and takes it for walks.
Yeah. He's like, I am a f***ing cat!
Well, now, see, Don has a good reason for that, because he says that there's bears in the area, so he doesn't want to just let the cat outside to go walk himself.
You know, here's an idea.
Why doesn't let the cat outside at all?
Here's an idea. Don't let the cat out.
Beats me. Yeah, see, I mean, that's always been my theory, too. You either have an inside cat or an outside cat, not both.
Yes.
And if you have an outside cat, you do that with the knowledge that, yes, a bear might come and eat your cat. If you live in, you know, areas that have bears. Which apparently Don does.
Yes.
Bear areas. Barrias.
Yes, Don lives in a barria.
Very scary.
I'm sorry, that's the
palate. That's like a terrible ice cream flavor from Ben and Jerry's.
Very scary. It's like a Halloween.
And the trick would be that it's not actually berry flavored, it's bear flavored.
Right. It tastes like
blackberries in large chunks with some kind of bullshit in it.
And not like generic trash. He means actual bull feces.
No, it'll be chunks of salmon.
Perfect. It'll be hugely popular in Japan.
The Iron Chef flavor.
Yes.
The Iron Chef line of ice creams. And the secret ingredient is...
Bullshit.
Very fibrous.
I'm going to save that as an intro quote, just in case.
You know.
I mean, with this show, there's not an inappropriate time to have someone exclaiming bullshit. So I can probably work with that.
There is always time to squeeze in the bullshit.
Okay, we're going to replace that.
Never mind.
So, unlike the last several weeks, we actually have a plan for what we're power playbacking next time.
Ultimatum.
Yep.
That's right.
Yay.
We'll see if I can actually
have enough hard drive room to download it.
I know. Even the SD is over 2 gigabytes. How long is this movie?
It didn't seem that long.
I have not actually worked up the motivation to watch it yet. I'm hoping I can manage that sometime in the coming week. Like, there's been points where I've thought about it, but then it's like, oh, there's Wizard in this. And, you know, it's just not seemed like such a good idea anymore. But, you know, sacrifices have to be made, I guess. Well,
there is Forza in it.
Well, okay, you guys have to make sacrifices. I don't.
We'll just have to make sacrifices, but I choose to.
Yeah, the movie's almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cripes.
Hour, 57 minutes, 43 seconds.
I don't remember other movie wars being that long.
But this is a director's cut, remember?
Well, yeah. Still, 2 hours. That's
a good amount of time to set aside.
That's going to be a little bit of a time sink right there. I mean, it's not like I don't have, you know, Minecraft to play. Because that's important, too.
Borderlands.
Well, I don't have Borderlands.
Goblins just suggested fruit-scented gime figure arts.
Yes.
No. Not figure arts. That'll be the standard action figure line. That'll be the gimmick, fruit scents. Scratch and sniff gime figures.
They smell like those pencils.
You know, I remember having those pencils, and they never smelled like anything but a pencil.
You may have just had regular pencils then.
Was it the yellow ones with the really tasty enamel on them?
Yeah, those are regular pencils. The Scratch and Sniff pencils usually had, like, you know, color on them. Like purples and blues and reds.
Yellow's a color.
Hey, Mickey.
No.
I think you may have tweeted something that's supposed to be a DM.
Ooh, what?
Looks like a tracking number.
Nope.
Tracking number? No, isn't that what the hell is that?
Google it if you don't know it.
Okay.
Nah, I don't care that much.
Oh, I'm curious now.
Yeah, now I want to know.
And how harmful could this possibly be? Not nearly as harmful as I was expecting. I'm very disappointed.
Urban Dictionary.
Very disappointed.
Wow, that's underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's funny if you've seen the show.
I'm sure.
It's
isn't that what they always say?
If you have not.
Yeah. Obtuse, that's a thing.
I have seen, I think, one episode of that show once, like, 5 or 6 years ago.
And then I never got something to do next time you come down.
Oh, boy. Okay, now I remember not being that thrilled with the one episode I did see. On the whole, is it at least as good as Dark Place?
Yes. It's got a lot of the same cast.
Oh, well, maybe there is something to it then.
Well, it's got some of the same cast, not a lot of it, but okay,
Does it have the same production values?
No, it's got good production values, but it's
that's disappointing.
It's got the black guy from Dark Place in it, and then it's got the guy with the ridiculous deep voice. He shows up in like the second or third season as a regular character, but he's amazing.
Okay. Yes, and as soon as we can figure out some time, I can come down there again. Well,
if we weren't going to Charticon, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, that's true, but then I'm going to Charticon. Hopefully.
He shards.
Any luck selling that morpher?
Not yet. You could totally buy it.
I just bought DR's Melgarumon.
You.
So.
What?
Why?
Yeah, I think you made a bad choice.
Yeah. What about the other thing?
Totally. Yeah.
Like, of all the DR's you could buy, why Melgarumon?
Because it's Digimon and can hang out with Wargreymon.
You are Ken.
Oh, God.
No.
I don't care about tamers that much.
No, see, he... Okay.
What?
What? Okay, you're what? Wrong. But, see, you're not Ken because you didn't get a War Greymon whose arm fell apart under its own power.
Also, you haven't mentioned Pretty Cure once.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, Pretty Cure.
Well, we could mention the rumor of Zaban dubbing Pretty Cure.
Well, one Pretty Cure series was dubbed.
Yeah.
So, well,
supposedly they have the rights and they've trademarked two possible names that could be used for a dub.
Okay. Well,
both of which are terrifying.
Okay, I'm curious now. What are the trademark names?
Well, the newest one is Glitter Force.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh,
that's totally for GoBusters.
What's the other one?
Gangnam Girls.
Gangnam Girls? Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, on to important things. What movies do I need here off of the double stuff on Overtime?
Double Forever.
Mm. Also, okay. Double Returns Excel. Oh.
Everything but Eternal.
Yeah, you don't need Eternal.
Yeah, you want Dub A to Z, Kamen Rider Double Forever, and the Net movies. You want the Net movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I want Kamen Rider Double Forever A to Z.
Yes. You also want Kamen Rider Double Returns Excel.
Okay, hang on.
Don't watch it till 46 or so, right?
He's watched the whole series already.
Yeah, I've watched the whole series. So.
He somehow managed to watch the whole series and not watch the movie in the right place.
Okay, and I want the Excel.
Yeah, he watched Movie Wars Core during his viewing of O's, even though it has nothing to do with the series, but the movie from Double that has to do with the series, he skipped.
Right. Yes.
J.D. Church, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, and...
To be fair, Core has two worthwhile things. All the parts with Skull and Shotaro meeting Ankh.
Well, Shotaro meeting Ankh is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
There's also the double stuff that's outside of Skull, like the No More Kamen Rider from Akiko.
No, because it involves Akiko.
Trying to see where... Okay, so wait a minute. Okay, damn it. Forever, Excel.
Yeah, and the Net movies.
And the Net movies.
And the Net movies.
Yeah,
is that
the
it?
Net movies.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, you don't want Eternal.
I don't want Eternal.
Well, you could. We could talk you out of liking it, too.
Well, to talk him out of liking it would assume that he would like it to begin with, which JD is not Wingus, so...
Did you watch the Delusional shorts?
Apparently not.
You should probably grab
Overtime
those.
Hasn't done those.
And that's the director's cut of A to Z, so that's fine, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
have you seen the Hyper Battle video and Gaia Memory Encyclopedia?
No, I haven't seen
those.
Yeah, you want those.
Encyclopedia, you definitely need to see.
Okay.
Well, it's comedy gold.
Yeah, well, you see that. Well, the Hyper Battle video's the first one. And the Gaia Memory Encyclopedia follows it.
Okay.
Look, JD, this is all very important double-related things. You need to have
okay,
them.
Okay, Hyper Battle Video and Gaia Memory Library. I want that.
Right.
Okay. And then what else?
A to Z Forever.
I've got that.
Excel.
Got that.
The Net movies.
Got that.
Hyper Battle. All
right.
Encyclopedia.
We said Hyper Battle already.
Okay, and I've got Hyper Battle Encyclopedia. So that's four. So those are four things I need then.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'll download those.
Right.
So glad that we figured this out.
Oh, is your cat trying to prove me wrong?
No, he's underneath the desk and trying to hack something up or so. I don't know. Now he's looking at me like, what?
Well, he's a cat.
Please stop. That's an important thing.
Mickey, I've been curious for a while, but I keep forgetting to ask. Whatever happened to Sickly Cat outside?
Oh, Sad Cat? Sad Cat hasn't been seen in a while.
Mm.
I assume that means he went to a farm.
Or he died.
Yep. Or he died.
Was that you say he went to a farm to go play with other cats and be happy?
Yeah, he crawled off somewhere and died.
Yeah,
because he was a sad cat.
It's quite possible he died in our shed out back.
Perfect.
Now, I don't remember. Is that actually a shed or is that just the awning piece that fell off the house that you pushed into the backyard?
No, it's a shed that's fully supported by the amount of junk that's inside the shed.
Brilliant.
So what you're saying is it's a pile of crap outside with a tarp over it.
It's a pile of crap that's supporting a roof and walls around it.
Okay, it's a hard top tarp, but it's still...
Hard top tarp?
Yeah. Like a hard top convertible.
I'm fascinated by the architecture in your area.
It's amazing.
Tell people it's like French. It's ghetto. Oh, yes, this is the latest in ghetto architecture. Oh, ghetto.
Do you still have the piece of the awning that fell off?
Of course. Well, I've been ever take it to the dump, like you said.
Well, you know, there's an easy way to solve this problem, Mickey. All you need to do is get a dog and then cut a hole in the awning. You just have the dog live in it.
But then I would have a dog.
Yeah.
Well, why would I want
we didn't
that?
Say it would solve all your problems.
But, you know, at least that piece of an awning would have a use then. It would be the doghouse.
We solved a problem. You're welcome.
Well, okay. If you don't want a dog, get your cat and put it in a harness and tie it up outside.
Oh. See, there's bears. You can't do it.
So, Mickey, do you have a problem with bears wandering around the neighborhood there?
No.
Oh, well, maybe you don't need a harness.
We typically don't invite a lot of bears over to our house.
But they're not just like wandering around outside.
Maybe in the down.
No, they usually stay in the bars.
In the meatpacking district.
And when you say meatpacking,
sausage is paladin. Obviously, you would be cramming the sausage into the casing.
I like how that joke went in a completely awesome direction. Fort Max is like, why is this funny? I don't understand.
One thing that we have to cover before we go. JD, I'm not sure if you might have seen this, but on Twitter, Gigabeetle issued a challenge to you.
Oh, I didn't see this. You should actually include me in tweets where he's challenging me.
Well, you follow me and you follow Gigabeetle. You should be aware of these things.
Yeah, but I don't get to read Twitter all day. You know, I have a job.
But you also have a phone that gets Twitter.
Yes. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, so what Gigabeetle wants you to do is to get a bottle of Pepsi and a bottle of mayonnaise and drink the two at once.
Oh, God! I don't even drink sugared sodas, so I'm not even sure.
Well, think of Pepsi Zero.
I could do that. Pepsi Zero, like the Pepsi Max?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
That sounds really awful. I don't think I can do that.
Well, I mean, you'll have to take it up with Gigabeetle. I'm just, you know, delivering the message here.
See, I'm not the one that
you made him eat.
Well, I didn't make him eat anything, right?
That was like, all Ken.
Well, and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah.
even that. Like, this whole Gigabeetle food challenge started out because Gigabeetle started eating crazy shit that we talked about. So that's his problem. Like,
the Gigabeetle challenge came about from the tofu taco idea, right?
No. It goes all the way back to sour cream on nachos.
It did. That's right.
Yeah. And so
it didn't even start out with weird shit. It started out with something perfectly normal.
Yeah,
And it's just evolved into shredded tofu on a taco.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, Gigabeetle did this to himself. There is no sympathy for Gigabeetle, okay? Like, I love Gigabeetle, but he did this to himself. He's the one that took it upon himself to start trying the crazy things that we were suggesting. We just kept suggesting crazy things that he try. So I feel no obligation to actually accept any challenge of crazy stuff because I'm not that crazy.
Well, look, like I said, I'm just
on the show.
I'm delivering the message, you know, what you do with it.
That's my response. So we'll see what Gigabeetle says to that when he listens to the show.
I was actually supposed to bring it up first thing on the show, so Gigabeetle's going to be disappointed because he said he would be disappointed that the first thing on the show wasn't. And now for the JD challenge. But, you know, it got in here anyway.
And it would be even more disappointed because then I would be like, no.
Well, you can just edit it.
Yeah, but that's work.
Yeah, that would take effort.
Yeah. But no, of all the Gigabeetle challenges we've done, I think the tofu taco is still stand out.
That's legendary.
I want
to like send that into like Top Chef and have them try it out, you know. You know, see if they can make it, you know, make it work. But yeah.
All right, so next week we'll be watching Movie Wars Ultimatum.
Okay, and what
all
else?
All 2 f***ing hours of it. Strap in for a long one next week. In,
strap
not on.
That boy on.
What's the? Do you announce what the other thing is, or are you waiting until next week?
That'll be next week.
Oh, okay.
You all know what it is, you would if you paid attention to the mailing list.
I don't. Can you? Do you? Can you email that to me? Because I can't. I can't find it. I never.
No, Don's back.
Because I don't know. I can't.
Don is going to be so pissed off.
I don't know why.
He's going to kill all of us.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be around him at Shardacon.
I'm going to flip out one of these days. He's going to do that, like, it's going to be like that scene from Full Metal Jacket, and he's just going to, like, flip out.
Well, look, here's the way I figure it. If working for however many years at Walmart hasn't made him flip out yet, I'm not sure we're going to push him.
Ticking time bomb? I'm not sure what you're saying.
He's a pressure cooker, and he's ready to explode.
He's just waiting to go. Oh, it's going to be Operation Kevlar one day at his local Walmart.
We're going to turn on the news one day and, you know.
Apparently this man, Don, so known as Headmaster Don, shot up at Walmart today in Virginia. Oh.
Witnesses report he was demanding a headmaster RC.
Meanwhile, blowing the heads off of women and children.
Yet he remains the only likable character to ever appear in Short Pact.
John was in Short Pact. All right, fair point. But.
Okay, well, I think on that pleasant note, that'll be the show for this week.
And NSA is like,
oh, I cannot wait for RFC this week. And when do I ever say that?
Oh, really? I'm not going to be on.
Well, Barricade, thanks for being new Ken for us this week.
No problem.
Yes, you were passable.
Well, aside from not being able to talk about Garo, he, you know, pretty much interacted as much as Ken would normally.
Sure.
So,
Ken could have been
he's
on.
Like Ken Splenda.
Ken Splenda. No, he's NutriKen. So, Barricade, what you'll have to do for the show next week is tweet like 20 minutes before, talk about how you're too busy playing some game or something.
Well, I do have Animal Crossing.
That'll
no,
work.
He's at a game, are not a show.
Ken. I think you really are Ken. I think you're just with us.
Well, Barricade is
Have they ever been on the same show together?
Barricade is Northern Ken, and Ken is, you know, regular Ken.
Southern Ken?
Yeah.
Switched at birth to be a new W series?
Yeah. Okay, so if they're twins, which one is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, Ken's definitely Danny DeVito.
What, JD?
I said Ken is definitely Danny DeVito, so.
I still got all my hair.
So far. Enjoy it while
What about Eddie Murphy?
Ken had all of his hair before he was on this show weekly.
That's probably true.
Did it all just fall out when he did the giant scream?
No, I don't think it all fell out. I think he reached up and just yanked.
Yeah, he just pulled and then all gone.
Alas, Ken's hair.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
This is so mean-spirited.
Hello. It may have less hair, but it does appear to be thinner than me, so that's kind of a fair trade-off.
Well,
Meanwhile, I have more hair and am thinner.
But you're in Texas.
Yeah.
You're also 12 years old.
Hey, I'm proud to be the only adult on Superhero Time with all his own hair and teeth.
Ooh. What's encoding this week, Fort Max?
Inazuman F.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Paladin, I have all of my hair and teeth, too.
In a
original
box.
Original or regrown.
I keep all... Every time they cut my hair, I keep it. It's like, it's a little part of my soul.
Actually, there's an alarming number of teeth flying around my house.
I strain my bathtub water.
Are what? They all human?
Yeah.
What?
They're bands. He had some teeth break.
Has he been, like, drinking mercury or something?
Do you play hockey?
I think it might be the depleted uranium.
Oh. That'll do it, too.
But since he's been, they don't really hurt.
Well, see, I was kind of thinking about that, too. Maybe they're just breaking because he's, like, you know, clamping down with his jaw too hard sometimes and...
He does grind his teeth at night occasionally, which is alarming.
and he just leaves them laying around.
Well, kind of, yeah.
All right. I'm not sure what's creepier: Ken pulling all of his hair out, Ben teeth falling out, or Dawn
falling out, apart. Crumbling.
Okay, that's not better.
Like, remember the episode of Ren and Stimpy where Ren didn't brush his teeth and his teeth broke and had the little nerves all hanging around?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, he yanked a nerve out when a tooth broke off. Like with tweezers.
Oh my god.
And they started trying to show it to me.
Of course he did.
And then he ate it. Okay, maybe I'm making some of this stuff up.
But the thing is, having met Ben, none of it is unbelievable.
Yeah, I totally would have bought any of that story.
So how much of it was true and how much of it was a lie?
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea of that, but I'm saying all of it was believable.
Right.
Like, you could tell me all of that was true and I would not doubt it.
Right. And XV doesn't believe anything.
Those are the best kinds of lies.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to lie, it needs to be that kind of lie or there's no point.
Right.
If your lie can't convince absolutely everyone, you're not doing it well enough.
True. Wait a minute.
Or am I lying?
スーパーヒーロータイム次回もシャバドビー
止めてみろ。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.